We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues, etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Can't say I've read the books or seen the movies, but 50 Shades of Grey, even if you have a casual perusal of social media, evokes certain images. Some of them are just purely erotic, and some of them are downright violent. So how is it that a Washington Post opinion writer says, in the name of the Me Too movement, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, in essence, isn't so bad as long as there's consent, even the violent parts? How can that be? Joining us to talk about the Me Too movement and 50 Shades of Grey on this Tuesday afternoon, Joy Pullman, mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book Education Invasion and a recent column for The Federalist titled Me Too and 50 Shades Are Only Compatible for Moral Cretins. Joy, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks.
Joy, you have written recently in The Federalist about an op-ed piece in The Washington Post by Batya Ungar Sargon. What is her argument with regard to the Me Too movement and 50 Shades of Grey, and does that argument hold water?
Well, I'm going to try to be as accurate and fair as I can because I think it's a pretty awful argument. It may not even rise to the level of being able to be labeled an argument, but her point basically is that it's perfectly fine and justified for women to fantasize about things that they would not actually want to have happen in real life. And I think that's a terrible idea because, I mean, the idea of fantasy, I mean, I think there's that trying to basically say women can do whatever they want, you know, double standards are perfectly okay. And I just don't agree with that. I mean, what we fantasize about does influence who we are as people, and it influences our actions. And also, you know, if we're publicly talking about and advocating for women, you know, really fantasizing about being abused, being beaten with belts by men and other terrible things, men hear that sort of thing, other women hear that sort of thing, and it becomes acceptable, more and more acceptable to do these sorts of abusive things to women. So what you think internally really does matter. Your conscience matters. Your inner thought life matters. And, you know, if you're having terrible, horrible thoughts and you're dwelling on them, maybe it's time to get some help and get a change of direction rather than excusing the fact that that's happening.
You compare and contrast this with the Me Too movement's response to Judge Roy Moore in his run for the Senate. What did you find?
Right. Well, because, I mean, basically this young lady is making an argument for hypocrisy, right? It's okay to think about, fantasize, dwell on, want something, to live inconsistently with the way that you think. And so I was saying, you know, hypocrisy is supposed to be one of the only sins that our culture, you know, actually thinks is a sin. It's one of the major complaints that they have. I brought up, for example, like you said, the Roy Moore incident, you know, when he was accused of sexually abusing young girls. Part of the accusation against him, it was heightened because he has been for a long time seen as kind of, you know, a fundamentalist sort of Christian, the type who upholds very high bars for moral behavior. So for someone, usually that our Christians' pursuit of standards and our upholding of them and our repeating of what God says, the law that he gives to us, despite our failures, is often used as a club against Christians because we inevitably fail to live up to it. So basically, this is an instance of not having any clarity about whether it's okay to be a hypocrite or not, you know, because in the case of Moore, it's not okay for him to be a hypocrite, but apparently it's okay for all these women to be hypocrites about whether they want to be beaten during romantic encounters.
Okay, so just so we have a little context, for those who either have only heard the name or have purposefully avoided learning anything more about the 50 Shades of Grey saga, what is depicted there in these movies?
Well, and I have to say, I haven't watched the movies either. So I've looked for plot summaries, and I don't want to hear about horrible things that are either in fantasy or in real life happening to women. The whole story revolves around rough sex, and not just people being very active, but we're talking, there's a scene in the book where the woman, the female partner, consents to have the man beat her with a belt. There's other, things that happen in the books that are just way beyond the pale of what normal people, really want out of a loving encounter with each other. So, but that's the big selling point of the movie. So there has been, of course, a lot of controversy about the fact that they do that, as well as the fact that, this franchise, it's a trilogy both in books and movies now, and it's worth $1 billion. So we're talking, very rough and brutalizing to women as well. I think these sorts of encounters are also brutalizing to men because it reduces them basically to beasts, who are mistreating other people. That's not the kind of men that I know. They don't get, that doesn't make them happy to hurt people, and it wouldn't make any decent man happy to hurt other people. So these books really glamorize twisted psychological states and twisted actions.
Then how would you respond to someone who says, look, it can't be abuse if it's consensual, albeit it seems brutal to the rest of us, but if a woman wants to be beaten with a belt, or if she consents under whatever circumstance to being beaten, then it's not abuse. How do you respond to that?
Well, that is just flat out wrong, and it actually is really dangerous to the most vulnerable members of our society. A person who says something like that is extremely ignorant and naive about, how dark human beings can be towards each other. If any listeners have ever had any experience with abuse of any kind, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical or sexual, the counselors and experts in the area of those kinds of abuse repeatedly tell people that one of the signs of an abusive relationship is that the victim actually agrees with it. In most cases, a battered woman, a woman who, whose boyfriend or even a man whose wife or girlfriend is abusing him, they have internalized part of the abuse is that it's psychological and mental. So they say, oh yes, I deserve to be beaten for not, having dinner ready exactly, when my husband walked in the door. I deserve to be screamed at and have obscenities, shouted at me because I really wasn't, I didn't do the thing that my wife wanted me to do it in the instant that she wanted me to do it. So that is just completely typical for an abuse victim to consent, to agree to the lies that their abuser, traps them inside. That's part of the abusive relationship. And so that's one of the reasons that just agreeing to a situation is not at all the arbiter of whether it is objectively a good situation or an action. There has to be some kind of external standard that, we as a society apply to behaviors and actions in order to determine objectively, not how you feel about it, not how your mind has been twisted to accept it, but whether a certain, interaction or mode of behavior is acceptable, is good, is going to lead to flourishing, for the individuals and their community.
You say that it's slavery, not freedom, to consent to your own mistreatment. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, folks who embrace this kind of moral relativism that this Washington Post writer is proclaiming here, they do it because to them it sounds like freedom to be able to do whatever you want for whatever reason or for no reason at all. And on its face, it sounds freeing, but what that really does is enslave you to your worst, the worst version of yourself, to your worst passions, to your worst desires. And it really sets up a society where the people who are the weakest are going to be dominated and abused by the people who are the strongest. What really liberates people is a protective society where there are external standards for behavior that apply whether you are strong, whether you are weak, whether you are prone to a certain sin or another sin, where the standards apply to everyone equally, regardless of their ability to uphold or enforce them. That creates the most amount of freedom because it protects people from their worst impulses. And we all have those worst impulses. We all need that protection. We need the protection of knowing what is right because it really sets us free from us abusing ourselves and other people and them doing that same thing to us.
What appeals to women about something like 50 Shades of Grey? What are they looking for?
Well, I had a really hard time figuring that out because I'm a wimp. I don't enjoy pain. You know, even I don't even enjoy athletic pain. You know, I don't want to, going for a run isn't that fun to me, right? So I had to talk this through with my husband where I get all of my good writing ideas. And he was pointing out, you know, he says to me, of course, you know, women en masse don't want to actually be tied up and beaten. You know, that doesn't sound fun to them. But the really romantic thing about this story is that, you know, the woman puts up with all of this behavior because in the end she gets a fairy tale life. She marries a fabulously rich guy that she has rescued from psychological torment. And he's committed to her. He provides for her. They have children together. You know, it's basically happily ever after, you know, going through, you know, it's kind of a dungeon, very long dungeon series. So, of course, women, you know, are in it for the romance part of it, the stability, all the things that, there are certain things that women tend to want out of men and that men tend to want out of women. And one of the things that women really intrinsically love about men is that they are strong and they, when they use their strength to protect us. And it's really unfortunate that we're not able to even articulate that, you know, in our culture. We're supposed to be free and strong and independent, but we can't say yes. And what that means is I would like a man who isn't a ninny. I would like a man who, you know, isn't a woman, you know. I was going to say a woman with pants, but all the women wear pants now, including me. But, you know, women don't want to really marry a woman. They want to marry a man, and that means something that is different from a woman. But, you know, our culture is really so corrupted that we can't express that unless, I guess, it comes through a distorted lens like the storyline of these books.
And the reality is that 50 Shades of Grey itself is pure and twisted, though it is absolutely pure fantasy itself. These kinds of relationships are not healthy. They are not consensual in most cases, and they are destructive to everyone around them. They don't jet off to Paris after this and enjoy a happy ever after.
And I have a friend who volunteers at a domestic abuse shelter, you know, and so that's, you know, women who are in relationships where the men are punching them, you know, and holding them down and whatever else, they stick around because they think that, you know, they can save the guy, just like the character in this story. But they never can save the guy. They're putting up with the abuse only enables the abuse. It helps it to continue. It never brings the partner to justice. It never creates a situation where the partner realizes that he or she has to repent, come to his senses, and stop doing this horrible thing, you know, to other human beings. So it would be really great if that could be the case, but the truth is that just in it, putting up with abuse or trying to save a person by participating in their sin only drags you down into it. That's just the way that the world works. And so to tell women otherwise really is to tell them to do the very thing, or men otherwise, you know, to tell a victim that they, if they just stick with it long enough, their abuser will stop doing these terrible things to them is precisely the opposite of the best counsel for people who are in situations like that.
So finally, what does it say to you that we have a growing and very vocal Me Too movement, which in a lot of ways are concerned about real evils in society, real things? There are genuine concerns there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have things like 50 Shades of Grey that glorify abuse, both sexual and otherwise. And then there are people who are trying to reconcile the two in their minds. What does that tell you?
Well, I think what is at the root of all of this confusion is the fact that we basically, as a society, have been conditioned to refuse to accept the real answer to what makes so many people so dissatisfied with their romantic and sexual relationships. And I mean, of course, I think what God tells us about the way that women and men should treat each other and what the proper boundaries for sex are, those are the good ones. And those are really hard to uphold, you know, not having sex until you're married and then keeping that within your marriage is very, very difficult. And so we would rather lie to ourselves and say, I can go have hookups or I could have sex with my, you know, committed boyfriend and it's going to be just fine. And, you know, again, you know, God wasn't kidding. You know, what he told us is best for us really is best for us. And so all of these people are facing the fact that they have done the thing that they've done the thing, they've transgressed against, you know, God's best plan for them. And they're feeling the pain of that, but they're just refusing to admit that the real source of it was their disobedience. And so everyone is casting about looking for what could possibly be the source of this problem. And it's anything but the fact that I made bad decisions. It's got to be, you know, somebody victimized me, or men, you know, don't ask for consent enough, or this, that, or the other. Basically, I will take any answer except for the real one, because the real one would require me to do things that I'm not prepared to do and face truths that I'm not prepared to face.
Joy Pullman is a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Me Too and 50 Shades of Grey Are Compatible Only for Moral Cretins. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.
We are going to stay on the subject of abuse, turning to the signs of domestic abuse. Holly Shear of The Federalist will be our guest on the other side of the break.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Technology, diversity, family breakdown, gender confusion. Think for a moment. What are the most pressing issues facing Christians today? Whatever the issues may be, chances are good that the writers and editors of the Lutheran Witness magazine will be talking about them and helping readers see and understand them through Lutheran eyes. Subscribe today to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell.